Well, I have big news. My guest Adam is in the building, like Elvis. Adam Geller is the president of Athena, and he wrote a book. It's a pretty cool book called Evidence of Practice, The Playbook for Video-Powered Professional Learning. And we're going to talk to him about not only the book, Evidence of Practice, but also video-powered professional learning, which he's an expert on and a former science teacher, so he comes out of the classroom. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's Tuesday, January 9th, and it's a beautiful change. The weather's in the 30s here in Maine, and it's a beautiful sunny day. We're all thrilled. I think I'll go out and play badminton in the 4 feet of snow on my front lawn. Where it's plowed. So that'll be a lot of fun. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio and friend us over on Facebook at EduTalkRadio as well. All right, without further ado, let me bring on the man who came rushing in from a cab ride, the one and only Adam Geller. Hi, Adam. It's Larry. Adam? Oh, no. Adam? I got your line open, but there's no Adam. What's happening? Larry to Adam. Larry to Adam. Come in, please.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
I think I had myself on mute while I was waiting. I can hear you, yeah.
I heard the great introduction. Yeah, it was brilliant.
Yeah, well, you know, nothing like muting yourself to make sure you don't make a mistake. So I ended up keeping myself muted.
I've done it many times, talked, and a lot of people do. They talk for 5 minutes, they realize their cell phone's on mute, nobody can hear anyway. Hi, Adam, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here.
It's my pleasure and glad I could make it. Thanks for that introduction. Really excited to, as you said, share more about our new book and what we've been learning on this topic of video-powered professional learning.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I want to start off with this, okay? You were a science teacher. I think it was a middle school, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, middle school science teacher,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And you, like me, when I was a social studies teacher, had to watch the principal or vice principal or department head come walking into my room, sometimes usually unannounced, and sit down in the back of the room. Every kid knew exactly what was going on. And without any intro, et cetera, and just a bit of follow-up, they would do their observation of me as a teacher and you as a teacher, etc. Somehow I have this feeling that must have prompted you about the video-powered professional learning and what Athena does. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's certainly part of it. I mean, you know, your story there really reminds me of my own experience as a first-year science teacher where no one with science expertise was ever available to walk through my classroom door. You know, my principal actually was trying to give productive feedback, but she didn't necessarily have that expertise. And, you know, Okay. I think in reflecting on that time, what's interesting is that I actually did know the right person who could have observed me if I could have made it possible to do that without him coming to my room in person. So this challenge of being observed by the right people and hungering for that feedback on one's actual teaching practice, it's not just something that teachers, ask for and desire for. It is a research proven, you know, aspect of professional learning, which is that one of the best ways to help teachers change their practice and implement that change successfully is actually giving them feedback on their actual classroom instruction. So the other types of PD that you and I have probably experienced, what some fondly call the sit and get workshops and, kind of big group experiences, while those are very popular, those are not the best way to help teachers actually change their practice. They're a good way to get some clock hours, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, and, you brought up something incredibly interesting, as you will through the entire show, and that is, we always look, and we're going to talk about this, as observation, as evaluation, all right? That's not the best way to look at it, but that's the way most people do look at it. But like you said, there was somebody let's say you were teaching, you're in California now, right? Yeah, in San Fran.
Okay. I am in California now. Mm-hmm.
Where did you teach?
I taught in St. Louis, Missouri, in St. Louis Public Schools.
Oh, cool. Okay, excellent. All right. Sorry about the Cardinals, but what can I tell you? All right, they're in Arizona now. But at any rate, the point is, what if you wanted to get the way you're teaching to someone who really knows what they're doing, someone who really knows science, as an example? You were a science teacher, but you had no way of getting it to them. You're only being observed, and I hate to say it, mostly for evaluation. And usually the evaluations are pretty good, at least they were in my case, but they weren't really anything that I could have used. It just was some bullpucky that would throw down on a piece of paper back then, et cetera, and put my permanent file. And your point that you could, if it's video powered, you can get it to anybody, okay, makes a lot of sense to me, even beyond your school, et cetera. I have a question for you, Adam. With video powered learning, what is the physical setup? I mean, is it a cell phone on a tripod, or is it a video camera on a tripod? What's the physical setup? I think that scares people when they think about working in front of a camera.
Yeah, well, I mean, if we were having this discussion 7 years ago when we were first endeavoring to figure out how to help teachers do this, I think the answer would have been some very specific pieces of equipment. But today, mm-hmm. I mean, I think your guess that maybe it's a cell phone camera, or maybe it's a camera, or maybe it's your laptop, or maybe it's a webcam. So from our perspective, we really try and think about using any device you have available, right? That video cameras in our lives have become very common. It's really a question of how do you make accessing those devices for a professional development purpose easy. And also the big piece is not just the recording, and we can talk more about that setup, but once you have that video file, how are you going to get it online? Because the fact of the matter is we all watch a lot of video online, but most of us have not uploaded videos. And for those of us that have uploaded right. 30-second, 1-minute video to YouTube, we haven't uploaded a 12-minute video or a 30-minute video or a 60-minute video. And so I think that unknown and am I going to be able to do it successfully is part of the it's not the hurdle, but the thing you need to talk about with teachers who are participating in video reflection, and so that they feel comfortable. And also you need to de-risk the process so that they feel like they can try it out. And if it doesn't work the first time, it's okay.
Is that what Edthena does? Your company, Edthena, what does Edthena mm-hmm. do? I mean, your book, Evidence of Practice, is excellent, but it's built around what your company has learned, all right? So just tell
sure.
everybody what Edthena does so they understand the product and where you're coming from on all this.
Absolutely. So Edthena is a video learning platform focused on teacher professional development. So teachers record the videos of their own teaching with any devices they have available, upload those videos, and people on the other end, a coach, a colleague, a school leader, a professor, someone is able to analyze that video and provide time-stamped feedback. So for someone outside of education, I often describe this as almost like athletes do, they review game tape footage. We help teachers do that play-by-play analysis with video of their own teaching.
Good. So Edthena is the platform onto which they can upload the videos and make it accessible to whoever they wish to make it available to, right?
Absolutely. It's the infrastructure for the process. So it's all the tools that the teachers need to get the videos online, to collaborate with others. It also is the tool sets for those that are facilitating professional learning to organize and scale those learning cycles, as
cool.
well as get data out of the process to understand what changes are actually happening in teacher practice.
This is really cool stuff, I have to admit. And who is it at a school or school district that usually purchases the product? Do individual teachers purchase this? Do schools purchase this? Or do districts? Maybe all three. I'm just curious.
So we do have a lot of teachers write us saying they're interested, but typically teachers are not our buyers. So our decision makers are going to be those individuals who are managing a budget. So that could be a principal allocating school level resources and doing a school level initiative. So, we have a great example of a principal actually in California this year who wanted to enhance the amount of observations he was doing with teachers in his building. And so he's implemented it at a building level. More typically, we would talk with someone at a district level who has access mm-hmm. to a greater set of funds and is going to think, more systems level. We also partner with some teacher training organizations as well.
Like which ones? Like Learning Forward, you mean, or?
We work with schools of education as well as professional development organizations.
Wonderful. I work a lot with AACTE. You must know them, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yes, we are good friends with
the folks
at
AACTE. Are you going to be at their conference? Are you going to be at their bowl?
I will be.
I will be there. I'll meet you there. Okay? I'll see you.
Okay.
All right?
Looking forward to it.
We're going
to
do shows live from there. How about that? A lunch date set up on Education Talk Radio. Let me ask you another question about this, then we're going to get into the book a little more. Teachers are used to being up in front of a group. They really have no problem mm-hmm. with that at all. But there's a big difference, and it was even a difference when that vice principal or department head would walk in. Okay? How do you get over, and you probably have dealt with this, what I'll call camera shyness, and it might just leave after the first 3 minutes and you forget the camera's even running, so to speak. But just talk about, because I would think that would be something that would come up first, okay? That, God, I have to do this in front of a camera. So just talk about that for a second and how an administrator would overcome that with the teacher and the teacher overcome the performance anxiety, so to speak.
So the person who wrote the afterword of the book, Jim Knight, is a researcher who's done a lot of reading and writing on the use of video. And I did an interview with him, so I want to credit him for a version of this statement, which he said to me, no one ever recorded themselves on video and said, wow, I look 10 pounds better than I thought and, all these other things, right? And, he just reminded me that we all look at, people on the TV in terms of the news anchors or movie stars, and we forget that they have a whole crew of people doing their makeup and doing the lighting and all these things. And if, as an individual teacher in a classroom, we had that, we would probably look just as fabulous. But the reality is we don't. And you have to be okay with that. And so I think the real thing you have to establish in order to help people feel comfortable is not figuring out how do you suddenly, look like an underwear model on camera. It's that you, with a perfect physique, of course, is what I was referring to.
I've been an underwear model, but I only do 4X. So it's that simple. 4X, no, a lot of people have not seen my ad. Yeah.
I keep mine hidden away as well.
It's Victoria's Secret, but it really is a secret. So that's all I can say. But please move on.
The real secret, if you will, to having teachers become comfortable with the use of video is establishing a culture of trust around how that video is going to be used and what it's going to be used for. And this is something actually you've hinted at before in our conversation today, is that difference between professional development and evaluation. But one of the things we really stress is that, when you put teachers in the driver's seat to capture their own video, first of all, you're putting them in control, right? They have the decision-making power of what video you have and don't have, but also make clear how that video is going to be used. If there's a question in the back of my mind as a teacher about if I share this video with you, my coach or whomever, that you may, and I show you the places where I need to improve, that you would, suddenly turn that against me and use it against me for an evaluation. Well, then I wouldn't trust the process. And as a result, I probably would be a little bit unwilling to participate. So when Edthena partners with organizations, we talk through these issues of establishing a culture of trust and ways to do that and ways to set the expectations. The other kind of best advice we offer folks is that the first thing to ask teachers or anyone to do, and we actually advocate it should be the teachers and the facilitators doing something like this, that the first thing you should do on video is not ask somebody to go in and record a full lesson of teaching. You should ask them to do something low stakes, like, for example, a classroom tour. And that's actually one of the strategies we have in the book detailed. for this reason.
Yes, you do.
Because it's low stakes. It is easy logistically to execute. Is a little bit easier from the standpoint of you only have to listen to yourself on camera rather than be on camera. and you get to practice the technology, right? So you get to eliminate all those things that make people hesitant or worried they may not be successful. But yet it is still an activity that drives value for everyone involved because, you know, if the fundamental challenge is that some of the people watching this video may not come visit in person, then giving them a tour of the learning space actually helps them provide better feedback to you across what other evidence you might be sharing over time.
Right. That's an absolutely excellent idea. And let me ask you this also. And again, Adam's company is Athena, but he wrote a book called Evidence of Practice, which anybody can purchase, a playbook for video-powered professional learning. And like everything else, the times they are a change, and this is something we all need to know about, evidence of practice. Okay. Where would they get that, by the way? Can they go to Athena.com or do they go to Amazon?
They can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any other online retailer. We also have information at evidenceofpractice.com if they want more of an overview and links to purchasing it as well.
Right. And by the way, the title is incredibly important because I remember those written evaluations, and I have to tell you, although it was a long time ago, they were silly. You know, you look back on them, they're all glowing. It was nice. I was a pretty good teacher. Okay, and it was nice, okay, to get a little bit of positive feedback, but this gives you positive feedback too, and it's a better record. And you know, I just want to ask you the title, Evidence of Practice. Mm-hmm. Why that title?
Yes, so I mean that phrase is a phrase that's sometimes used in the academic literature, evidence of practice. But really, for me, it is. The phrase evidence of practice.
It sounds like a TV series. It sounds like the newest thing on NBC. You know, a law lawyer series, evidence of practice. Yeah, it's very, very, very official.
Well, it is actually the antithesis of another phrase, which I heard from a friend and an advisor to Athena, who's Deborah Ball. She's a well-known researcher on mathematics education and did a lot of research about the use of video. She just retired as dean from the University of Michigan School of Education.
Nice.
And
nice.
I was talking with her, this is probably, 6+ years ago now. And I was, she had, you know, University of Michigan had this history of using video and they were working with Athena. And I was talking to her about, you know, why was she working with us? You know, she's a big deal. And
right.
She said to me, she shared this story about two candidates, teacher candidates. One who, said the lesson went perfectly. And then she looked at the video and it was clear that the teacher did not understand. The students didn't understand and the teacher had evaluated her own lesson. And another teacher candidate who had come back reporting that the, you know, lesson in the classroom in the field had gone terribly and the students didn't understand and they just had so many questions. And Deborah mentioned that she took a look at the video and what it revealed is that the students actually had learned the topic and that they were engaging in the material in a way completely different from what the teacher had taken away from that situation. And without the video, the kind of help and support she would have provided would have depended upon the teacher's recollection and the telling of that. And what she, said is that, without the video, we're relying on an anecdote of practice. But with the video, we have the evidence of practice. And so I'm retelling it here, but that interaction
That's
with
good.
Her really highlighted for me the power of that phrase and really what it states that you have, right? You know, you do have the actual evidence of the teaching. You're not relying on someone's memory or someone's retelling or an interpretation of different data sources that can certainly be helpful, right? You know, maybe you have outcomes information from a unit assessment, but nothing is a true equal and a true peer to having video of the teaching. because it's not opinion based. It's not a coach trying to tell a teacher what happened or convince them, or
right.
the teacher wondering whether or not this coach doesn't like me and that's why they're saying all these things. It is
right.
just the
right.
100% pure record of what happened, that evidence of the teaching. And so, you know, when you think about other types of professional development, having that evidence of your own teaching really is a type of professional learning that's on a different level.
And I was just thinking as you were talking that what a great thing to have as a resume. You know, you're looking
mm-hmm.
for a new job
mm-hmm.
in education. You can say, by the way, you can see how I taught. Here are some videos.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
I don't know if you ever thought of that, but
it's the Athena side of the house. We help people do that.
Yeah, it's a good idea. How do I want to ask this? You know, a school district uses Athena. You've got this great book about how to really use it, evidence of practice. All right, but what prevents? And I don't know if there's anything that does. And I'm thinking this two ways. You know, teachers have their favorite lessons, their best lessons. So I did this. I always do a great one on this Battle of Gettysburg. Okay, and the kids are real engaged. That's the one I'm going to put on the video. Okay, as opposed to the schleppy one I hate about James Garfield or something. All right, and
sure.
I'm curious. Yeah, you know, I used to get evaluated, you know, maybe three times a year if I remember correctly. All right, back then. But you know, with this, you could the principal can say, you know, I'd really like a week's worth of classes or something like that. But what prevents or helps the school to make sure they're getting a true picture, if I may? Does that
sure.
ever come up?
So
yeah. Is that a dumb question?
We've
or is
certainly
that a good
been
question?
Asked that before. No, it's a
yeah.
good question. It's a
okay.
good question. I get it asked before. I mean, so I remember the answer I gave the first time I was asked that question by someone. It was a principal and or maybe a superintendent. I don't remember. And the person said, oh, you know, what's going to happen if the teachers watch the videos and pick the best one? And I paused
yes.
and I said, hold on. The big goal here is to have your teachers be self-reflective practitioners. So isn't it a good thing that teachers
right.
were watching their videos, analyzing them, and determining which one was the best one? You know, so I think that's something that shouldn't be overlooked, that the action of reviewing your own practice is actually what we're aiming for here.
What a great point.
That piece aside, there's actually research that supports teachers picking their own videos to be representative of their teaching.
Well, I don't think there's anything
wrong
with it. I was just curious about that. And just in
oh,
that, I don't
yeah.
think there's anything wrong with bragging and showing a great lesson.
Oh, no, I would say that what they determined is that when teachers pick their own videos, so this was a study focused on evaluation purposes, but it was conducted by the Harvard Center for Education Policy Research. What they found is that the teachers, you know, if they were to stack rank the teachers based on the videos, the evaluation scores of the videos the teachers submitted, it was approximately the same stack rank order based on the evaluation scores if the evaluators picked a video. It's something akin to this type of finding. I'm not familiar on the exact setup at the moment. But the takeaway was that when teachers pick their own videos, you know, it's not materially changing the quality of teaching that you're able to observe.
Isn't that interesting?
And you know, I think that that's something we kind of, you know, from a on the street perspective would say, well, yeah, you know, Mr. Smith, he might put on the dog and pony show three times a year, but we all know that he's not doing a good job in that classroom. It doesn't. And, you know, actually that teaching isn't so great. It's just a well-planned lesson, but it may not actually represent high-quality teaching.
Right, and people have to learn to evaluate the evidence, so to speak, for what it really
right.
is. That's part of your book,
what,
by the way. Being able to analyze it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, one day of highly planned teaching is not going to suddenly create a highly effective culture for learning inside of a classroom where kids are empowered and taking control and asking questions. You know, so those things are still going to come through. I also recently had a district administrator, she was a coach, give her perspective on this to me. And she joked that she said to her teachers, go ahead, give me what you think is the dog and pony show. You know, what does it show me? It shows me that's what you could be doing every single day. You know,
well,
that's what's
nice.
Possible. So I thought that was a funny kind of operationalizing of the whole situation, which is, sure, give me whatever you want. And if you think that's not, you know, representative, well, now you've shown me what's possible.
Wow. Well, that is a great answer. Congrats to her. I have another thing to ask you. In chapter 3 of the book, it's called Focusing Techniques for Interacting with Video Evidence, which I'm going to read your definition of that, describing the helpful ways of working with the video evidence you obtain and review. Okay, that's for both the administrator and the teacher as well, right? When you go through this, you have 5 focusing
Correct.
Techniques in here. Okay, and can you go? I don't know if you have them memorized or you wrote them on the side of your hand. Okay, like I used to do during tests. Breakdown. Let me just read them out. Breakdown, interpret, compare, discuss. Why do I only have 4? Which one am I missing? Help me.
Spot.
What did I break?
That's the beginning.
Oh, spot. I'm sorry. I didn't see spot. Yeah, spot. I knew there was another one.
It was hiding.
Spot is the first one,
spot.
Everybody. I missed it. Mm-hmm. Spot, breakdown, interpret. Wait a minute. I'm going to say them again. Compare and discuss. Okay? And this is the way you evaluate this. And I don't mean for teacher evaluation per se, evaluating the video. Speak. Adam.
Right.
What are those?
So... First, let me give a comparison to why we need the 5 focusing techniques, the value of having these techniques named. So it's similar to the value of something like, and these both happen to have the same number of parts, the 5-step lesson plan often used by schools. It's not that the 5-step lesson plan is the like lockstep way of doing it. It's that, you know, having a vocabulary to define the opening part of the lesson as the intro, separate from the guided practice, separate from the independent practice, right? That having names for those distinct phases of a lesson is helpful as a shared language for talking about a lesson. In the same way, the 5 focusing techniques are those 5, for lack of a better word, vocabulary words to use to talk about video. So it's not enough to have a recorded piece of a lesson and open it up and start watching and just kind of react, do a hot take, as some might say. Sure, you might get some value from it, but you're going to get more value with a focused effort and zoning in and I'm trying not to say focusing over and over again, but focusing on what you're trying to observe. So maybe let me talk about 2 of them so that the value and the differences come to light since we're talking here rather than looking at video evidence. So you mentioned that spot was the first technique, and these were all ordered in order of complexity, but not necessarily the order that you would execute them. So spot is the technique of noticing a certain aspect of the video as being important. And being deliberate about this practice is helpful. So the example that sometimes I share to highlight why developing the technique of being able to spot is important is, let's say the placement of the homework folder in the classroom. Well, if we are talking about classroom management and procedures as part of our conversation about your lesson, Larry, then, you know, the placement of the homework folder is very important. And that is something that we should spot because maybe it's causing friction in the classroom procedures.
Mm-hmm.
But if the thing that we're talking about is, culturally responsive teaching that incorporates the backgrounds of your students into the topic material that you're presenting, and thinking about, you mentioned the presidents earlier and how, the political context and all, suddenly spotting the homework folder in a certain spot in a certain place in the classroom is not important. So being able to distinguish which aspects our important information is itself a skill that can be built and can be practiced. And so that's why we try and name it. So let's I'm trying not to say the word compare because that's another technique. Yeah. So maybe let's put that in contrast to there we go. breakdown. So breakdown is the technique where you see a particular classroom event or episode or pedagogical move, and you're able to break it down into the component parts. So maybe in spot, you might say, I see the teacher, circulating. In breakdown, you might say, aha, like here are the three actions the teacher is taking to actually calm the unrest in that back corner of the room. She has, mm-hmm. Moved to that corner and circulated. When the student, continues the misbehavior, puts a finger on the shoulder of the student to make sure that the presence is known. When the behavior continues, the teacher then, the third piece provides a quiet, redirection, a verbal redirection. Okay, so those component parts are all the pieces of how do you resolve a classroom management issue. And being able to break it down and see the component parts is a helpful skill to understand what went right or what went wrong in any particular classroom event.
And I have one question. We got to go in just a minute, but we could do more later. But for the show, we got to go. But I have a question. All these things, okay? You've worked with a lot of school districts now at Encina. Are they hard to do or easy to do?
I think they're varying, and we've tried in the book to describe the amount of time investment needed. Unfortunately, I don't know of any secret silver bullet professional development method to tell people. There is none. But what we can do is help prepare for the use of video to be a systematic and sustainable effort. And so with the right plan, any organization can implement video as a key lever for leading their teachers to changes in their teaching practice. And so it's the right plan with the right amount of time set aside to support and train and implement folks on a different type of learning that maybe they haven't experienced before, but that the decades of research supports the case for implementing this within schools.
Oh, I agree. And your phrase, which I hope you use all the time now, systematic and sustainable, okay? That's key. That's it. This is systematic, okay? There's a platform. People can view this. Mm-hmm. This is sustainable. You can use it over years. Those pieces of paper are meaningless, okay? They're just, at least they used to be, silly observations. Okay, it's a new age, and this makes PD better. It makes professional, and instead of development, it's professional learning. The teachers are going to use it to learn. Adam, we got to go. This was terrific. I will be back in touch, and I will see you at AACTE in Balmo.
See you there. Thanks so much, Larry.
Well, my pleasure. We can eat French fries and vinegar together, like a real Baltimorean.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
I'll see you there, but I'll be in touch before.
Sounds good. Have a good rest of the day.
Great. Thank you. You too, Adam. Take care. This is terrific. I appreciated it, and I know the audience did too. Bye-bye. Okay, Adam is gone, but he was terrific. Adam Geller, founder president of Edthena, you know what it is now. It's edthena.com, Edthena, E-D-T-H-E-N-A. Okay, and his book, which, you're going to get into this at some point, but you have to learn a little bit about it before you get into the platform. The book by Adam, which is really good. I have it here on my desk, Evidence of Practice, Playbook for Video-Powered Professional Learning. You'll be able to learn a lot about it. Then you can contact them. All right? Edthena.com. We're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org. Tweet it at EduTalkRadio with a direct link. My name is Larry Jacobs. Thanks, Adam. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening.